we are continuing to add new products to our portfolio. So almost like about 10% of our sales is coming from exports, nearly 10%.
So what is the starting point for this powder metallurgy? So you procure metals from outside?
Yes, so our starting material is any metal which is pure. Suppose, for example, copper is there. We get copper scrap, pure copper scrap. So purity is important for us because because our end applications are very critical. So purity is very important. For example, if it were a tin or a nickel or a cobalt or a zinc, these are metals which we buy ingots, because we don't get pure metal. So what we need is basically metals which are pure, which can be melted. So
And largely all of this is procured domestically only, all the raw materials.
but things like nickel, cobalt, they're all imported, but we are currently buying it through traders, so essentially imported, but we are buying it locally. So unless we come into such big volumes where it makes sense to import directly, so we are buying it locally. Yes, most of the metal powders, whatever our purchases, except some very special metals which we import very rarely, most of them are Indian.
Yeah, so every raw material is now locally available.
Understood. And tungsten heavy is, I think you said it's a forward integration. So for that particular segment, I think the powder is the starting point.
Yes.
Yes, powder we buy. We don't make tungsten as of now. Maybe as our volumes catch up, maybe we can look at making tungsten powder, but for now we buy tungsten metal powder. Yeah, so yeah, can you go to the next slide, please? Yeah, so these are what you see here are defense applications, basically spheres. What you see here is spheres. Similarly, you have cubes, cuboids. So we are actually talking to various defense companies, both government and private, private companies like Solar Explosives or Economic Explosives, Bharat Forge, L&T, ICOM, Adani. So these are all the various companies which are actually actively coming into this defense space, and most of the defense applications need tungsten heavy alloy one way or other. So pre-fragments is the biggest application where the warheads are laced with tungsten heavy alloy pre-fragments of various shapes and sizes. But there are applications like what you see here is a nose tip. It sits on the nose of a missile or a torpedo, essentially doing the penetration work, and then what follows through is an explosive. So there are so many applications. And one of the other application is like radiation shielding. So one of the civilian applications of radiation, gamma radiation, is of cancer treatment. For example, cancer patients are treated with radiation and all that, right? So you need radiation. So now to contain radiation, you need this material. So you cannot carry radiation just like that, because people who are carrying will get radiation and then they will hurt themselves. So you need some material to actually contain it in a safe way. So tungsten heavy alloy is a suitable material. Otherwise, the competition is lead. But there are advantages with tungsten heavy alloys. And as the country grows richer, they would like to have advantages. So people are actually moving away from lead and then getting into tungsten heavy alloy. So a lot of research is being done, and then a lot of products are coming up. Recently, BRIT, a sister concern of BARC Bombay, actually launched a IR camera body, for which we produce. We actually did a very critical component, basically tungsten heavy alloy, first time in the world. Otherwise they would have done it with lead, or with the Americans sometimes do it with depleted uranium. So we are the first ones to do it in the country, and developed by BRIT. Now the actual product also has been launched, and only yesterday actually a tender which has been pending for 3 months has been closed, where we were L1, and nobody, there was a reverse auction, and then nobody even tried to get close to us. So So what's happening is in our country, a lot of research has been done in the past 30 to 40 years. All that is actually culminating into useful products for the industry, for the society at large, even medical and all those applications. So one of the key materials for the, all that is tungsten heavy alloy. And we are at the leading edge. You know, we have almost put in like 12 years of manufacturing experience, a lot of type approvals. For example, aerospace, HAL would do a lot of type approval before actually they will put it on their helicopter or light combat aircraft. We also do some special insulation pads for LCA aircraft, or Tejas and all those things. So it's a long battle, but it's almost like 12 years since we are into tungsten heavy alloys. And see, that entry barrier will be there for anybody who would want to do a new thing also. And one of the advantages is that today India is actually looking at exporting ammunition. India is a big importer of arms and ammunition, and suddenly India is turning to be an exporter of ammunition like Pinaka, Akash and all those things. So our internal consumption is one thing, but the biggest potential is to export. And we also supply to countries like Israel. Israel is one of the biggest defense manufacturing country in the world. And they use a lot of tungsten heavy alloy. So we also have been supplying a lot of stuff to Israel for the past 5 years. So yeah, we need to take it forward. In fact, we are actively talking to some Middle Eastern country for the same pre-fragments. So that's a happening which has happened in the last 1 week. We hope whatever they are talking, goes to the logical end of getting an order and being able to execute it. So that will be a very big thing. But we are in the process. You know, India is a low-cost manufacturing country, and then these are all technologies essentially coming from the West, largely America, Europe, and China also. But you know, the trade barrier, you know, like America and Europe, they are having 25% trade. Embargoes on Chinese products. So that's where there is a slight chance for India and for us to, you know, do well. So here, this picture is actually a cylinder with a hole on the left. It's basically a collimator. So we have done that for again a Department of Atomic Energy, basically for collimation. So it goes into a product which essentially scans containers, like your airport, your baggage is screened. Similarly, a lot of containers come into the country through the seaports and airports. So it's humanly impossible to look through what's coming into the country. So these are container scanning machines. So basically, India is the fourth country to develop a container scanning machine. And the first machine, it is successfully developed. And we have done some critical parts for that. What you see there is a collimator. So it can actually collimate gamma rays, which can penetrate 400 mm thick steel sheet. Yeah. So can you go to the next slide, please?
So largely all of our products are specialty products.
Yes. I told you, our basic filter is what's coming into the country.
Understood.
So that's the basic thing. Otherwise, if an Indian R&D organization is developing something, we are part of the development. For example, I was telling you about the IR camera. The camera body we developed almost 10 years ago, or at least 9 years ago. Like only two months ago, they actually launched the final product. But now once you launch, because it has to go through so many type approvals, like it has to be tested for various environments, and then a drop test and so many things, because you are actually dealing with gamma rays, which are very dangerous. So that's why it goes through a lot of testing and all that. But now the testing stage and all that is over now. In fact, only yesterday, we participated in a tender 4 months ago, and then we were told that, not told that, we knew that we were L1 there after the reverse auction. So that happened only yesterday. So so things are happening now. Now, why did it not happen in the 10 years? So that's the R&D and, you know, product development and all those things.
This is what I was coming from. I mean, you've done a lot of work over the last two decades, and even in
exactly.
But from numbers angle, we've not seen a big jump, right? I mean, so 3 years back we were at some 12 crores of top line. Right now we are at 25 crores of top line.
Right.
If you can just now tell us more about how you are doing at the new facility of Sultanpur, and
what happened in the recent past is actually we used to operate from three places.
The next slide actually shows our factory. Siddhi, if you can show us the next slide. Yeah,
so that's the new plant. So until about 7-8 months ago, we were operating from three places in the DHL ancillary estate for the past 20 years. So they have taken about 2 acres land, and then we built facilities. You know, the red one, the red shed is actually the metal powder, and the green shed is the tungsten heavy aluminum. So a lot of scope for expansion. There is place for one more shed of similar size. A lot of efficiency can be built into the thing, because we were operating from three places. You know, some facilities like gas, oxygen, and compressed air, and all those things. We don't have to have three things. So the same place, you give the common facilities, because they are all powder metallurgy and largely they consume hydrogen. So the hydrogen generation and distribution and all that happens more efficiently. So that's also a very important part. Not only that, you know, the most important thing is that, you know, we are talking of world-class products. Whenever somebody comes to our stall, every year we participate in 3 or 4 national exhibitions and conferences. So that used to be our only marketing effort. So they're all thrilled about the kind of a product and technology and all that. But when they used to come here, they used to feel this is a small company and all that. But now, suddenly, you can actually bring your customers with a lot of happiness, you know, show them around the facility, and, you know, they're not like anything like a European company, almost to that standards. Maybe not exactly, but yes.
Do we have any capacity over here, any capacity number that?
Oh, yes. We are actually having a capacity of metal powders about 50 tons, but only last month we touched 34 tons. Otherwise, most of our last 2 to 3 years, we were at around 20, 25 tons.
That is 50 tons per month is the capacity.
Per month, yes. But we can go to 100 tons per month in no time. That's our real strength, because we have the science and the engineering backed up. So if we have to build up something, a large part of it is we fabricate ourselves. So that's one of the key strengths, because these are all equipment which are all, you know, very special equipment. It's not like something it's not like a lathe or a drilling machine where you simply go buy something and do it. These are all specialty equipment, and it requires a lot of knowledge to even make them and then operate them.
So this is all powder metallurgy, you said, 50 tons.
It's all powder metallurgy. So all these activities come under the gamut of powder metallurgy.
Yeah,
so one division make metal powders, and the other division make components from metal powders, but we don't manufacture those metal powders.
Understood. Okay. So total overall is 50 tons per month. And you said last month you closed at 25 tons per month.
No. Last month it was 34 tons, Sarita. Can you correct me?
Yeah, 34 tons.
34 tons, yeah. So, but otherwise, largely we were in around 20 to 25 tons for the past 2 years. So,
and can
slowly,
you just have a ballpark number? I mean, for example, 25 tons per month will approximately give you what kind of top line?
That's a combination, sir, because, you know, we do several alloys. So, if we don't do one single product where you can define that 20 tons means so and so. So, if it were an iron based powder, 20 tons would probably give about
20 lakhs.
Yeah, that's it. But the same 20 tons for copper will give me more than 20 crores.
But just a ballpark number, just for our understanding, to understand, you know, what kind of...
You can tell an average number, Sita. Whatever average number used to be earlier and what it is now, you can tell that. So for example, 2.2, 2.2 to 2.5 was our earlier from metal powder, only metal powders, 2 to 2.2 crores per month. But last month, you can tell exactly how much we have done.
No, I mean, that's what I say. It's a combination. So assume it is around around 3 crores.
That is, I think, the order book, I think you mentioned, right?
Even in just order book also. So it's a combination of all orders that we have. Understood. So, you know, if it is an iron-based one, the top line would be very less. But if it were a copper-based one, it would be quite high. Especially if I were to take...
Average, you're saying... If
you're doing average is about 3 crores, roughly.
And at 25 tons per month,
approximately. No. 25 tons, we did about 2.2 crores.
Okay.
And last month, about 34 tons, we did about 3 crores, nearly 3 crores.
Understood. Okay.
Yeah, so that's the big difference. Suddenly, an increase of almost like 25 to 30%.
Right, and we can go to 100% number utilization.
Whenever. Yes,
that's focus.
2 to 3 months. That's the objective.
In fact, whatever order book that we have mentioned is just for the current month. Especially, I mean, you have to see it in division wise because both are different metrics altogether.
Right.
The 50 ton that we're talking about is exclusively of the metal powder division. We have not spoken about the tungsten unit, the capacity and all. So that is totally, you know, different from metal powder. And of course, the timeline for execution for both the divisions are totally different. Metal powders, we happen to our operation cycles are the max is about 60 days.
Okay. And what is the capacity number for tungsten heavy alloys? An approximate
number. Tungsten heavy alloys, we can do about 2 to 2.5 tons, and then there's one more furnace which we can commission it, provided there is enough order. We can do almost like 5 tons a month. But today we are doing around 500 to 600 kilos a month. So little less than a ton a month. So, but the main thing is the marketing and product development, because these are all special products which goes into products. These are not fringe.
We can't hear you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Now we can hear you.
Yeah, so what I was telling you is that our products actually go into making products of our customers. This is not like a grinding machine which is polishing their product or something like that. This is a raw material. This is a raw material which goes into making critical products of our customers. So they are very, very careful about their suppliers and how they take suppliers on board. It takes a lot of time, effort, hand holding, so many things. So
understood. And so you moved to Sultanpur prior to IPO, right? In January 2024.
Yes.
What was the approximate project cost of this entire Sultanpur project, including land? I think we own the land, right?
Yes.
It's part of the Fikilex organization. That's why our company was a 100% women owned company. So they allotted land for women entrepreneurs at a subsidized price in 2018. And then it was custom built. So on the whole, we spent about, the project cost is between around 15 crores.
Okay. And that was entirely funded by the company?
Mostly, yeah, till we moved. So there are a few equipments and few things that we are adding up to, because there will be like auxiliary equipment which will support the production.
And so with IPO money, what are we really doing? I mean, you said you've already given an advance of 3-4 crores, I think, in the last con call, and you're sitting on some unutilized funds of some 10-15 crores additional.
Yes, we are, for that matter. Yeah, so, most of it was actually taken. I think you've seen the RHP, where the funds utilization for working capital and, of course, to repay a little bit of our debt, and, of course, a little bit of capex, and, of course, the issue expense and all. So
largely working capital. Basically, what we are doing is, we already have a lot of products and capability to produce. Of course, some balance equipment, some small balance equipment, gas atomizer, and all that is there. But essentially, what we are doing is go and sell products which are already there. Of course, we continue to do new development, and all that is already happening, also happening parallelly. But essentially, the main money goes into working capital. and of course some loans also we repaid.
And approximate working capital cycle would be how many days?
So for Sarita, you want to say something? Yeah.
For metal products, the max is 60 days, sir. In 60 days, we tend to realize the entire amount. For tungsten, yes, it's a long gestation period because not just getting the order, and of course we have inspections, pre-inspection, post-inspection, and then it's mostly to the government entities, the defense establishment. So it's anywhere between 6 to 9 months.
Understood.
So we are also exporting to various countries, right from New Zealand to America and Canada. So our focus will be largely on exports now, rather than Indian market. Indian market also we are doing, but we are largely focused on exports. So until now, we have not participated in any international exhibitions. So that is also one thing we will do in the next 2 to 3 years. So that's where when we will see really some big things happening.
So here I would like to add that, so earlier we had limitations when it came to space, when it came to production. We had limitations in procuring raw material because of lack of funds. So now the strategy is, now we have a good marketing team, who are always in the market. Second thing is we are actually, arranging our inventory in such a way that, we don't say no when the customer asks. So earlier we had to, it was like made to order. Rather now it is like the moment we receive an inquiry, we are in a position to deliver it. So there's always a map going on every day, which product would be able to move, which we will be not able to, and not just develop inventory now. So that is where most of our efforts and the funds are also going into.
Understood. And so, ma'am, prior to Sultanpur, we were at what capacity? I mean, by moving into Sultanpur, we increased our capacity by how much percentage? Approximate number would you have?
Yeah, that's what I just told you, about 30 to 40% increase is there from 25 to 35 tons, but it will go up further. We have to reach 50 tons.
50 tons.
Okay. But it's not about Sultanpur. Sultanpur is definitely important, but mainly the
understood.
There was another constraint also, so because we used to operate in 3 units, mm-hmm. and doing this kind of volume was not a practical thing when prior to Sultanpur.
Right.
Because we were scattered in 3 different places, the power was distributed, the manpower was distributed, and most importantly, safety, because we are dealing with high temperatures, not anything less than 800 degrees. The least I would say is 800 degrees. So that is where, we had limited ourselves by, taking all safety precautions at all points of time. So that is one thing, which we are very, very comfortable now. So even if we want to say increase our capacity fourfold, I don't think we'll think much now. So those were our constraints, in fact. So I think we've crossed all those constraints, and now with a free mind, we're just reaching out to the market. And whatever market we have reached out to, we've not even scraped the surface of the market, I would say, because it's in a couple of thousands of dollars, in fact.
So actually, that's where a little disconnect. I mean, while we have a lot of discovery, we've done a lot of R&D, we have very, niche product discovery that we've done over the last years. But how do we really capitalize on that particular opportunity apart from working capital funding? I mean, so do we have a top management bandwidth? Like you said, you've already onboarded someone for marketing. So prior to that, there was not a lot of direction towards marketing, for example. So how do you take that advantage of, growing your revenue, say 4-5 times, for example, if at all demand is there? I assume demand is always there. It's just up to the company to execute it, right? So what are the constraints that the company really feels right now?
So, well, for the moment, time is the only constraint. Otherwise, there's nothing constrained because we have the team. We are constantly strengthening the team, both on the production front and marketing front. My daughter, she's also coming and joining maybe in the next few days. So she is a material science engineer, studied from University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. So she's been working for some business analytics company. Now she thinks she should come back here, and that's also a strength. And you can look at the kind of a customers what we have. Hoganers is the world's biggest powder metallurgy company. HAL, IMI, Israel. Solar is a very big company, is actually growing big. Economic explosives. Have you heard of economic explosives? Solar explosives, Nagpur.
Yeah.
Solar. So it's a very, very big company. It's now seriously into defense and all that. So HAL, BDL, many actually. So these are all very, very difficult names to have in your customer list. And a lot of exports also, Adunan, then customers in Japan, customers in Netherlands. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the only thing is we have to go and sell. I think selling is the main thing. Of course, we need to make our production team, the quality control. We are working on, we are an ISO 9000 certified company, but we are also working on A standards, because if you have to go to Boeing or Airbus and all that, we need to have A standards. So we are working on it. Probably in 3-4 months, we should have that. So we are taking a multi-pronged strategy. We are going for solar. We are also very we are very aware of environment impact. Using our print and sustainability, circular economy, all these things. They're actually only the day before yesterday or yesterday we finalized a 280 kilowatt solar plant, rooftop solar plant.
Right.
So these are all going to definitely add to our bottom line. But most importantly, particularly if you have to sell in Europe and the USA, so they are more very critical about your environmental concerns and all these things. So yeah, a little piece here, a little piece there would do the complete mosaic. So that's where we are.
And sir, I think we are doing right now 75% of powders and 25% of tungsten heavy, right?
Yes, sir.
And going forward, any particular focus area, or it's going to be the same ratio, or it's going to get tilted towards tungsten heavy?
Oh, tungsten will definitely increase, especially the kind of inquiries that we have and the number of, we regularly participate in multiple tenders, multiple platforms in these tenders. Not just GEM, but there are many other portals where our products are posted for an inquiry. And not just that, what we see is the potential to export in tungsten. Earlier, we've been in the tungsten space for more than 12 years. Initially, there was always a limitation where only the government establishment used to use them. Then slowly we found some private customers. And now the biggest difference we find is that we'll be able to export to countries like South African countries, or even the Southeast Asian countries like Malaysia and all, because our equipment has been certified by our government and it has been accepted by them. So that is where we see the potential also. Very, very surprising was this week itself when we received the inquiry from Middle East, which we normally don't deal with Middle East, especially in the tungsten space, but that was a pleasant surprise for us as well. So which means, it's opening up, the market is opening up, they're open for procuring for us, and India is also talking about Atmanirbhar Bharat and all that. So that is the sweet spot that we fall into. And of course, we traveled very recently to the West also. So there also we've noticed that this China plus one strategy is where, we have to take advantage of. So I think a replacement of most of the Chinese supplies wherever possible, especially we have an edge when it comes to India, when it comes to in a product which is technically savvy, or technically has its own advantage when it in the position of technical whatever our expertise is put into. So that is where also we find a huge scope. So we're very confident, because the markets have opened up, and I think we've also seen probably we performed at a very low ebb where we had limitations in many things, but now I think we're all set to get up for the world market rather than just focus on Indian market.
Understood.
So how cost competitive are you in terms of, say, you're talking about import substitution majorly? So
yeah.
How cost competitive are you? How is it for you as well as you compare it to other players?
So essentially, cost competitive with the West. Suppose if something is coming from Germany or America, definitely we are very well off. But when it comes from China, the challenges are there. So, but we are covered by Indian policies like Atmanirbhar and you know that none of the DPSU should buy anything from our neighbors. So there's already a written statement is there. So neighbors means read China, not Pakistan or any Sri Lanka or anything like that. So yeah, we are competitive. India is a low cost manufacturing country, and our key strength is that, you know, these technologies, each technology, if somebody has to set up, you know, it will be a 100 crore project. The government of India would set it up at 100 crore only tungsten alloy. I'm not even talking about metal powders. So our knowledge, our engineering, our skill and all that, one of the skills is to make these kind of a very, very difficult technologies, products happen at a low cost. You know, these are all very big. You know, our competition is Plan C, HC Star, or Sandvik. So leave alone China. China also, huge companies. China is not that it is something cheap, but their capabilities are huge. Their knowledge base is huge. So for somebody in a small scale industry to even, you know, talk of these things is very, very rare, actually, the kind of a technologies we are talking and, you know, kind of a customers and the kind of the applications we are doing, they're all, you know, superlative. And of course, to answer your question, yes, India is a low-cost manufacturing country and we are an MSME and our skill is to cut down capital cost to 1/10, which normally any corporate company would do. So we will continue to retain those skills and then that's how we will definitely be cost competitive.
And when can we also, like you mentioned that, you know, you are also focusing on the bottom line where we can see improvements. So by when, I mean, so what I'm trying to gauge is that by when can we see such kind of improvements in your bottom line, A, which is very essential. Second, when we are speaking about, say, 50 tons per month, when are we looking at attaining that 50 tons, which would mark the next leg of your growth, moving towards 100? And third thing, when you, I think you mentioned that your tungsten powder, you're currently at 2, 2.5 tons, but you want a specific number in your volumes, when that's when you will take it to 5 tons. So I just want to know, what is that number? So these three things broadly.
So essentially everything is boiling down to marketing, existing products and new product development. So some tomorrow, for example, the previous month, say November, we did about 2.4.
We have to restrict yourself with numbers. We cannot reveal because they're not.
Okay. Just to give you an example, from November to December, our metal powder sales grew by almost like 25 to 30%. So 25 to 30% in 1 month, it doesn't happen just like that.
And these are
a lot of things are already happening. Our effort is there. So essentially, we have to go get orders and execute. That is all. So now, to give a date to it, we are working on it. We are looking at 100 crore in the next 1.5 to 2 years.
Now I think we are doing some 300 crore odd per month, say for example on powder metallurgy. So that will probably 3.5 crores per month, for example.
Yeah.
That will take you to say 35, 40 crores of right now an annual run rate.
Yes.
And then you add tungsten heavy, which can probably do another 15, 18 crores. Is that
10 to 12 crores. Is that the 10 to 12?
Yeah, between 10 to 12, because it's all dependent on many things. It's not like a private industry where you can give a kind of a forecast, assured forecast.
And how much would be a margin on tungsten?
Tungsten is quite high, ma'am. It's quite high. It's quite almost to the order of 35%.
Okay. And this is PAT margin you're talking about, ma'am?
Yeah, I'm talking about PAT margin.
And powder metallurgy would be how much, approximately?
Powder metallurgy is between 10 to 12%. Sir.
10 to 12, and that is 25.
Yeah. That's a huge gap. So that's the reason we still...
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. We are actually looking at gas atomized powders and some very special stainless steel powders and all that. Metal powders also will perform, you know, as the bottom line also will improve.
Not just that. So, when we do the scale, things will vary. So we're not in scale where, you know, I'm talking about our current scenario.
Right.
Things will change the moment we cross that 50 ton number. Whenever it happens, so I'm pretty sure we'll see a better PAT and it'll always add to the bottom line.
Understood.
So essentially we have all the departmental heads salaries all paid. So if you have to take it from 25 to 50 tons, you need some probably 3-4 working hands. That's all, which is nothing.
Understood.
So that's where you see bottom line improving significantly.
And so lastly, I mean, you spoke about gas atomizers. Right now, you put some 5 kg machine, right?
10 kilo gas atomizer. 10 yes.
kg. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing is, the kind of understanding that I'm trying to develop right now is you try to move from three operating places to Sultanpur 1 year back. You raised capital fund from the market. So what I assume is that probably while you have say 100 products under your umbrella, you'll probably have those 2 to 3 products which probably have a very big runway, to which you've already find a solution, a market acceptance, product feasibility, which is where you're probably betting on. So is there anything of that sort, probably 2 to 3 areas where you're focusing the most?
Yeah, so essentially we are looking at stainless steels, we are looking at some special coppers, and we are looking at additive manufacturing. When I say gas atomized powder, so we are looking at additive manufacturing. So that's the one big thing which will catch up in the future. Not necessarily, there are so many things, it's not one. So that's an opportunity and it's a problem too. So what to drop and what to carry on, these are all management things, you know, how we will evolve. So many things are happening actually. Mm-hmm. Honestly, in the last one and a half year, suddenly things have gone crazy. So many things are happening at all fronts. But because we have been in the industry for 20 years, 25 years, so we know how to handle the situation. We are bringing in senior people, we are respected in the industry. So people would like to join us, particularly after the IPO, more people want to join us, leaving bigger, much, much bigger companies. So they see a great opportunity here. And of course, we are grounded. It's not that we are suddenly talking something completely out of sync. We are very much grounded, and we would like to take one day at a time.
Understood. So lastly, out of the capital raise that you did of, I think, 34 crores, the capex part is only going to be 3 to 5 crores, not beyond that.
No, it's 7.88 crores, sir. More than 20%.
Okay, 7.88 crores.
Yeah.
And what is the kind of asset turn that you usually? I'm just a ballpark number. I agree that probably each of the divisions will speak about what. But just a ballpark number, that the 8 capex can probably give you say 40 crores of top line. The kind of benchmark that you have.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
The asset turn. So if you're doing capex of say 8 crores. Mm-hmm. How much? What kind of top line can you expect from that?
So in this 8 crores, the majority is going to this one. One is into annealing furnace, which, as MD has mentioned about stainless steel powders, the top line will increase like mostly double, because it's specifically meant for iron based powders. The other one is gas atomized powders. So there's a gas atomizer that is close to about 3 crores that goes into that, and these are all value added products. So whatever we're talking about additive manufacturing or anything to do with surface coating, maybe the top line, I'm too early to talk about it, but definitely the bottom line will increase significantly. It will be much on par with the tungsten division. And the other part of CAPUS was used for the solar roofing, which we had finalized just 2 days ago. So that's where majority of it went. A little bit went into building and all. We still are yet to complete the flooring and all the external flooring for the factory. But the internal part, most of it has been completed. So that's where the CAPEX went into. So when it comes in terms of sales, I would say gas atomization and the furnace, the annealing furnace that we had bought will add to the top line. And the solar unit will add to the bottom line.
So you said 100 crore target is by when? I mean, in how many years you said?
But we should touch 100 crore, at least the run rate in about 1.5 to 2 years.
Okay. And so just a ballpark, just a broad vision, FY30 vision. Where do you see the company going forward? And probably you'll start seeing your capacity also running out soon, right? If the couple of products So, I mean, what are the next plan? I mean, what is the step two beyond Sultanpur? Like you said, there is one space for additional shed to come up.
Yes.
I'm trying to understand the next leg of growth beyond what you already have.
So essentially, up to 100 crores, we don't need much, actually. Probably even an other shed also, we will not need. Whatever is there is good enough to touch 100 crores. But once the moment we are touching 100 crores, we should probably start looking at a 1,000 crore opportunity. But because by the time our understanding of the market, and then like you asked two questions, like, what is that one or two main things which will be your next future? So we are also looking at materials like electronic materials and all that. But that's in the very nascent stage to talk anything about that at the moment.
Not just that, in the whole journey, I'm sure we'll come across so many projects and so many opportunities, so many
tie-ups.
So we can always seize that, because we are in such a, you know, privileged position right now that, you know, we at least we could be the first take the first mover advantage and, you know, pass on. So because our horizon has definitely increased and we should know when to grab the opportunity. So I think our senses are more wide now compared to before.
So what happened is, actually, in the last 20-25 years, we have learned the science, the engineering aspect of it, a little bit business aspect of it. Now is to grow the business. So with all that backed up, the knowledge, strength and all that, and then you're bringing some good qualified people, and of course my daughter, she's also joining. So these are all good things that of course the IPO. So money is not a constraint today. So largely last 5 years we kind of stagnated. In fact, you, in the very beginning you mentioned, you kind of from 12 to 25, you took 5 years. It was largely because of money. So yeah, everything has a time, and I think now we are at an opportune position where we can really scale significantly.
Yes. And sir, in last question, I mean, is there a gap at the top level? I mean, for example, something like a quasi CEO. I mean, you seem to be a technocrat. You seem to be a person who is running the R&D, you know, the technical guy. Is there a missing link in forms of someone who can drive business, sales? Of course, you've already onboarded someone in the industry, but just at the top level, just a quasi CEO.
In fact, my brother, in fact, that's a very good question, actually. You have actually studied me very well. Not that I hate business or anything like that. My interest is largely in product development and all that. My brother, he is in Boston, and then he worked in all through his life in a corporate setup. At a director level, he retired, or at least he took voluntary retirement. So he's actually, helping the company come up with good business practices, you know, lean manufacturing. You know, trying to have complete data availability and then analytics and all that. So yes, of course, Sarita, my daughter, they're all going to come. And one more thing, I believe that not today, not that now that we are an IPO, we always believe that we were only custodians, trustees. Ultimately, the factory belongs to the country. So I don't want to be an impediment when the company wants to grow. I definitely don't want to be an impediment. You know, if at all, any point in time, I feel that some person has to be there to take care of it, absolutely fine. You know, I can take an R&D position or any other position what suits the company. But yes, the company has to grow.
And sir, right now, I mean, 100% of the time is into this particular company, right? I mean, you all don't have any other venture.
Yeah, absolutely nothing.
Totally nothing. Else. We have no other thing to do also. In fact, all our lives we've been here, and I mean.
In fact, we are so hands full, so many things happening. So I don't think I can think of anything else, actually. Yeah.
And so with 100 crores of top line, approximate 50% blended PAT can be assumed, right? On a conservative basis.
In that 12 to 15 is a comfortable number.
Understood. Okay. And that is a base case, and probably you'll have more upside risk. I mean, if at all, you know, a few products click faster than, you know, than what.
Yeah, I mean, the moment it crosses 50 crores over here, the combination of products, the mix will change. And not just that, we're looking for value-added ones, not just value-added ones. We're looking for a combination where our procurement also will increase, or, you know, when we get into volume, the best practices,
we will use better products. All these years, we have done some products for various reasons, for an import substitute to learn, or because we wanted to have a customer in our this thing, and all those reasons, all good reasons, nothing wrong about it. But probably they didn't add to our bottom line. But today, bottom line will be driving our all our you know thought process. Yes. Mostly.
Understood.
Yeah.
And perfect. And so you don't mind to do another capital raise if at all there is an aggressive opportunity arises to you and you run short of the fund, the internal accruals probably will take say 5 years to come in with the kind of opportunity that you see today. So you won't
have no problem. Yeah, absolutely no problem. No issue at all. But immediately I don't see anything. But it can come tomorrow morning. Suppose somebody says, okay, come on, set it up. So yeah, so that's what, it's so dynamic today, the whole, you know, our situation is so dynamic. Every day we are getting some new inquiry. Yeah, we never know. Yeah, but we are open for growth. See, that's the bottom line. The bottom line is we are open for growth. And
what is the texture of our order book? I mean, is it a sticky order book, or is it going to be, I mean, from the repeat customers, or it's going to be on and off? I mean, you'll have to take a lot
of.
Metal
is always a recurring one, a repetitive one. The same customer comes back. So, you know, we have a understanding of how much is being consumed by the customer and how much will be his offtake. So our funnel is always, you know, ensure that it is filled. So metal powders, we're constantly reaching out to new customers, new segments, and new applications all the while. It's a continuous thing.
Like I told you, these products are actually going into products of customers. So it's extremely important they don't suddenly change suppliers. We have a Japanese customer who has been buying product, a small quantity, but for the past maybe 14 years now, or even more, I can't remember exactly. So, you see, these are products which, you know, once people start to buy, they don't want to move away. Mm-hmm. They have a problem, they will always talk to us. So, and we are willing here to, you know, bend and you know, change and all those nice things. So,
not just the Japanese one, even the domestic ones also, you know, it's not easy to switch. So, you know, we'll never have an, you know, overnight big bumper sales, nor will we have a, you know, a kind of a windfall in and suddenly we may not fall down to zero. That cannot happen at all in this industry, because you know they have so many tools which are linked to it, so many components linked to it, so many industries are linked to it. So the line of supply will not change overnight everywhere.
Understood. Okay, perfect. Akshata, you have any questions?
Yeah, I just have one question. So I've met a couple of defense names you just mentioned, and you know we were also talking to them how big the export opportunity could probably be, you know, after the Russia, Ukraine, and even the Israel war that's taking place. And so what we've heard from them is that there have been a lot of inquiries, but nothing's getting translated into order. We also met Solar, we met a couple of defense names. So has anything changed over the last 5-6 months? Because the last feedback we got is that we do get inquiries, but nothing's really translating into a final order. So has anything changed in the last 5-6 months?
Yeah, whatever you just said is actually true. When you talk of somebody who is talking of hundreds of crores or thousands of crores, but what we are talking was a trickle. See, you must be talking to Barforge or Economic Exposures or L&T and all that. They must, because defense is always a long cycle. But for us, we have so many applications and all those things. So definitely, we are seeing an upside, definitely. But what you said is also right, that one big thing comes, for example, Pinaka. Pinaka export to Armenia, I think, or something like that. So it has been talked about for the past 1 year now. So
yeah, I think even Akash to Israel, if I'm not wrong, they've been in talks for a very long time.
These are all deals which will take time, but once it comes like a, you know, a thud. So yes, and no, because it all depends upon, we are not talking 1,000 crores here, we are talking of 20, 30, 40. So for us, it's fine. But somebody who is talking of 1,000 crores, they're always waiting for that one big project, because defense is like that. Right. But we are used to it now. we are used to it, that kind of all those things are used to it now. I hope I answered your question.
Yeah. And you just mentioned that you take tungsten powder from somebody else, right? Who would that be?
I cannot give you names of those, yeah. But it is Indian, mostly Indian, very rarely. Some very special grades we imported, but otherwise largely Indian, yes.
Oh, okay. So tungsten will also be a high working capital business, right? So just thinking
long cycle, tungsten yeah. Cycle is long, yes. Working capital, yes. Tungsten cycle is long.
So just thinking in terms of cash flows, right? Like also the other question is that your margins would be like the powder margins would be linked to these metals that you take, which has its own set of price cycles. And I see that your inventory days are about 130, which means 3 times a year. So if there are any fluctuations in the price, then how do you pass that on?
All our pricing is based on daily LME. Our price is only valid for 1 day. So somebody wants gives an inquiry today. Today's LME multi plus whatever value and ours is there is how we quote. So we are always covered by that, of course. But significant rise in metal prices will have some impact on our working capital and probably as a percentage of bottom line. But we are very secured in terms of the price fluctuations that happen in the markets.
And of the 13 crore debt that you have, I think your net debt is around.
We are a debt-free company today. I don't think we have any debt now.
Those are previous balance sheets.
Oh, okay. So of that you've raised now and then.
Yeah, because you must have been seeing the September data or the March.
Yeah. Data. No, I'm seeing the September one and it still says some 13 crores.
Exactly. Because the issue happened only on September 18th we were listed. So we just had 10
crores. So you're debt-free right now.
Not exactly, because we've not cleared the entire debt, because because the usage of funds were restricted for repaying loans. So only the ones that we had declared, we have cleared.
Net,
more or less it's a debt free. Yeah, for the past, I think 1.5 months, it's literally a debt free company.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, sir. I think we got a good understanding of the company. You all are doing some really wonderful work.
Thank you.
It was really very heartening to understand that. Just hoping, come the time where a big opportunity comes to the company and you are, ready to, lap it with both the hands.
Yeah.
We investors usually look for a growth.
Yes.
Because so we usually don't want a company which is stagnant, right? So we usually look for, capex actions. Company, how aggressive a company is, what kind of risk that you are willing to take to stretch your balance sheet and stuff like that.
Yeah, we are here for growth. There's nothing else to do here.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jeev, and the rest of the team.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for important.
Thank you. Thank you.